Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. I always laugh when I get my countdown from Joe. He does it different every time, but he always makes me smile. Today, we are part two of my special guest, Julie Corbalis. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I watch myself on the show, I go, what the heck are you doing with your hands? So anyway, Julie, singer-songwriter. Now what intrigues me is that your father was such an influence on you. Mm-hmm. I don't think my daughter considers me much of an influence.
Well, you'd be surprised, you know. He loves rock and roll. So right from the beginning, it was all about, you know, when we are in the car, we're not listening to New Kids on the Block, or we're not listening to Vanilla Ice or whatever was on the radio in the 80s. Like, we're listening to, you know, what my dad had on 45 that he put onto a cassette, you know. And that could mean to, you know, driving us to school or driving us, you know, taking a family road trip to Florida. So 20 hours in a car of the Beatles and, you know, stuff like that.
See, that's interesting, because in my car, when my kids
I know where
were
this
grown,
is going.
No, I have, because now you have multiple bands where, you know, like you have row one with six songs, then band two with six ones.
Oh, yeah.
So one is me.
Choices.
One is more me's classic rock, some current stations, and one is, for my daughter, all hip-hop.
Yeah.
Well, not all hip-hop, but hip-hop, modern rock, blah, blah, blah. As she gets in the car and it's like boom, 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 she never wants to hear any of the old music.
I can't say that that was always my idea. You know, like, right, that was just the rule.
Right. Well, that's, you know, I didn't have that rule. So it was interesting to me that you followed the rule. Didn't you ever say, Dad, how about giving me a shot? Hey, I'm a human, you know.
Oh, you know what? Yes. But the thing is, I mean, I just have distinct memories. My dad always had better taste in music than I did. I just remember, when I was a kid, you know, he came home from Caldor's or whatever. I don't know if you guys know Caldor's.
Sure, it was one of the millions of discount chain stores that have gone out of business.
So he'd come home from Caldor's and he'd have, you know, he bought himself the Black Crowes Shake Your Moneymaker in, right, 1989, and he bought me Vanilla Ice. I mean, like, how humiliating is that? Because that's what I wanted. And, you know, so he always, once I got a little bit older and I realized that his taste was way better than mine, I just, you know, I just went with it. So.
Yeah, I remember my dad. My dad. He had this huge stereo. This was in the 50s and 60s. He had this huge, monstrous stereo. And we had five CDs. We had My Son the Folk Singer. I don't know if you've ever heard that. We had Carousel.
Mm-mm.
We had West Side Story.
And that one I've heard of.
We had South Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
There were, you know, not my kind of music at all. And then one day he came home and he brought me the Beatles Yesterday and Today.
Mm-hmm.
He brought me the Jefferson Airplane, Crown of Creation, and an album by a group called Soft Machine. So he tried.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny is that I always give my dad the credit. But even something I'm kind of realizing lately in the last couple years is my mom's influence is really, really felt too. Like, my mom, growing up, she loves Elvis Presley, and she loves Roy Orbison. And I didn't really get Roy Orbison.
With that operatic voice of his?
You know, it's like, I guess everything that we were surrounded by in the 80s and 90s, when the Traveling Wilburys came out, all of a sudden, you know, because my mom always loved Roy Orbison, but that didn't make him cool. What made him cool was him hanging out with Bob Dylan and Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne and George Harrison. Then he was cool. And my mom knew all along, but, you know, I had to be persuaded in other ways.
That's interesting, because I grew up with some of his hits. Pretty Woman, to me, is one of the greatest all-time songs. And now everybody thinks of it as a Van Halen song.
Yeah, that's funny.
So that's interesting. My mom never, ever listened to music at all.
Really?
Ever. Yeah, that's bizarre. Well, she did, because I remember in the basement, I would play along to the rock station, WNEW
102.7. Sure, 102.7, just until recently.
Yeah, so I'd be jamming to Led Zeppelin, and she would be with her sewing machine, and she was pretty patient with me, so I give her credit.
Well, you know, the other thing, my mom, even though I didn't kind of put it together at the time, she always had the oldie station on, and I think that's where my love of Sam Cooke and Otis Redding,
sure,
that's where that all came from. I mean, even today, I still find myself singing, you know, to myself, I'll love you more today than yesterday, which is like a staple on CBS forever.
Yes. That is a great song.
So
that is a great song. But the funny thing is, I have my son, who's 15, is in the local White Plains theater group, the Renaissance Theater, and he's doing All Shook Up, which is a play, I guess, of all the Elvis songs.
Oh, that's cool.
But so he got the sound cast album. Mm-hmm. I think he actually bought it online with a gift card. And then yesterday I had Sun Records' Greatest Elvis Hits, and I'm playing the songs. He goes, "That's not the song. That's not what they sound like."
Ah.
And he goes, "That's so tinny. That's..."
Yeah, it's different.
And I said, "Do you want me to make you a copy of this CD?" And he goes, "No." No, I think It's kind of funny. Anyway, why don't you grab your guitar before we talk our way through the show, and
which I can I've been known to do.
Let me, Joe. I'm gonna flash Julie Corbalis's CD. Should I flash it to you there? Bring it on, baby. Bring it on. So this is mainly an acoustic CD of 10 songs, and as I've said before, I looked at the first song, Johnny and June, and that's was a huge country hit, but it's not the one that you wrote.
Would you like to hear the one that I wrote? Just get that out of the way.
You know what? You had two songs. You play the songs you want to hear.
No, I'd be happy to play this song for you. This song, I'm happy to say that this song came about because I had jury duty one day last year, and you know, it's sometimes it does work out in your favor. So, long story short, I didn't get picked. I got home at 10:30 in the morning. I didn't have to go to work. It was fantastic. So, I was listening to Sheryl Crow's new album, which, by the way, is phenomenal, and best album in the last 3 or 4 albums. And her song, whatever that lead off track is, kind of inspired me to sit down and write this. So this is called Johnny and June, which is about Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash, and how being married to Johnny Cash must have been awesome, but it must have been a pain in the butt too. Yeah.
A short one,
it's
too.
A short one, yeah.
What else are you going to do?
I got another song for you on there, if you'd like one.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I guess the last song I'll play for you is a song, it's called Broadway, and it's pretty much about hanging out on in a couple of different bars on the lovely street of Broadway in Astoria, Queens. Before I moved to East Harlem, where I live now, I lived in Astoria for a couple of years. It's a wonderful neighborhood, very fun, nice people, and you know, I didn't have television, so if I wanted to watch TV, I would go to my local public house and watch some TV.
I'm confused. Why did you not have a TV?
Well, I'm a New York City public school teacher, and so the first 5 years of my career, money was a little tight. But, I mean, I could have afforded a TV, but, you know, I wanted to be out there. I wanted to be writing. I wanted to be playing and gigging. And as everybody knows, television can stop you from doing that sometimes. I mean, even now, I've been addicted to CSI New York the last couple of months, which it's awesome. But, you know, I could spend that time writing or gigging or whatever, but, you know, I'm watching TV.
Now, I spent a lot of time in Astoria. That was back maybe in the 70s, 80s. It was all Greek back then.
It is very Greek. And with a name like Korbalis, everyone's like, oh, you're Greek. But I'm not Greek. I'm Irish and Italian and Hungarian. But then my middle name is Helen. And they're like, your middle name is Helen. Your last name is Korbalis. You live in Astoria. You have a song on your first CD about going to Greece. What's going on here? But I'm not Greek. It's just honorary. But it is very Greek. It's also, it's every culture. That's another thing I love about it. You walk down Broadway, there's an Irish pub, a Colombian restaurant, a Greek bakery, you know, Mexican food, and not just every, there's a Spanish, Cuban Chinese food that is right next to the, you know, the Irish pubs. And so it has everything. It has everybody and everything, and it's really a great place to live. So this song is, all that to say that this song is called Broadway, and it's about living in that. Okay?
I'm with you. I'm okay. Down.
Okay.
To stay.
Did you take guitar lessons at any point?
I never took formal guitar lessons, but when I was in eighth grade, there was a friend of our family's who said he would give me a couple of guitar lessons, just pretty much show me how to hold the thing and play a couple of chords, and, you know, I wanted to learn my favorite songs and help me learn those, you know. And then I'll never forget the first song that I played sitting in my living room with Dennis, who is my guitar teacher, you know, three or four lessons, I played the chords for Comfortably Numb, and he played the solo over it, and I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. And, I didn't really even realize how, I mean, I knew he was awesome, but I didn't realize until 2 years into playing that it's really special that he could just play that solo flawlessly, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I'm watching you play. And I'm thinking about when I learned to play, and it's a funny thing, most of the great rock guitarists don't play correctly.
Mm-hmm.
They might wrap their thumb over the top with their left hand.
Mm-hmm.
They might hold the pick differently. And I was taught a certain way, and now the older I get, the less I can use the way I was taught, because I'm starting to get arthritis.
Uh-oh.
And it hurts my hands, and I'm going back to the way that I originally played, because that was natural for me, and I play pretty much the way you do, so it was interesting. And it was even just starting yesterday, I realized I had to hold the pick. Can I borrow your pick?
Sure.
I'm used to holding it like this, which is very rigid.
It is.
But I screwed up my wrist, and now, just last night, I said, I'm going back to my old way of this. Which
I don't know if that's any better. I mean, you can see it's not good for you either way, but...
Right.
It's all, you know... I watched one of my favorite guitar players. You'd never know, because I don't even attempt to play anything that he plays, but one of my favorite guitar players is Brian Setzer.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And... he's just so fantastic. We go to see him, his Christmas special every year, and he leads a big band with his big Gretsch. But he has a technique where he kind of tucks the pick under and then finger picks and then can somehow grab that pick and then continue to play. It's just so, so great. He makes it look so easy.
Yeah, there's a local guy, Gil Paris, does
I've heard of
thing.
Him. I don't know him, but I've heard of him. It's really, he makes it look easy, but it's not easy.
No, nothing's easy, but you know what? It's really the songs and the voice that sell. You can always hire a guitar player.
That's what I'm banking on.
You know, the guitar is not really the big selling point. But I wanted to talk to you about another one of the standard questions that we ask. Did you ever watch the Bravo Actor Studio?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I have a friend, and she said to me, Rod, you should have standard questions. So to make her happy, because she was on about it for a long time, I developed the two standard questions, one which you answered last show, which is, what CDs would you bring to a desert island? And you mentioned Sam Cooke and the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
This show, I think... I like this question better. The old.
This is another hard one. He's kept me up last night.
But you see, the other question is kind of an out-of-date question because most young people, what's a CD?
Yeah.
Man, I'm on my iPod. I don't have albums. I got this song this person. So the question that I'm going to ask you is if you could replace someone in a band or join someone in a band, either living or dead. Like me, I would have loved to have been the bass player in the Doors.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Or if you were going to have, like, your night at Madison Square Garden and you were going to bring up different people to play with you and they would be in your band, you know, living or dead.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you play with?
Who's your my fantasy band?
Yeah.
Well, I just thought of this. And I'm so excited that I thought of it just in time. I have a CD that's called Eric Clapton's Rainbow Concert from 1973.
I remember that.
So that concert, I don't know the details, but apparently Pete Townsend put it together for Eric Clapton. And so up on stage was Eric Clapton, Pete Townsend, Ron Wood, Steve Winwood. And I would have loved to have been in that band. I don't know what I would be doing, maybe third rhythm guitar, but I would love to sing and play on that stage with them.
I remember that CD. I was working at my college radio station. And
it's so good. And you know what? Like, it's live, so it's rough, but even just the banter in between songs and the sentiment is there. So I really, really would have loved to have been up on stage just for a song or two. I don't want to get greedy. But I was also thinking, like, if I could make my own super group, which was a really, really tough question.
That's because you're a teacher. Just remember, your students put no thought into their homework whatsoever.
Don't tell me that.
Come on, you know that.
Well, okay. I loved Aerosmith growing up. Even though I grew up in the 80s, I loved 70s Aerosmith. So Tom Hamilton is the bass player.
He's good. They're all good.
I just love him because he's just solid. You know, no frills. He's solid. So I would love him as a bass player. And now as far as lead guitar player, I don't want to just take all of Aerosmith. So.
Well, you could.
You could have them.
You could say, hey, I'd like for one set, I want Aerosmith to back me up.
Okay. All right. Then I'll do that. That would be pretty cool. And then we could play all the 70s albums from Aerosmith. That would be fine with me. I don't really need to play, like, Crazy and Crying and
all that
stuff. I don't need to play the 2000 and the 90s stuff. Just the 70s stuff. So, yeah, there you go.
Okay, so that's pretty cool. I went to school in near Boston, and they played just when their first or second album, I think their second album, Lord of the Thighs or something, had come out, and they did a show at our college, and they didn't go over too well.
Yeah, well, they were rough in the beginning.
Well, they were, yeah. Actually, at my school, I remember we had Genesis, their first show ever in the U.S. with Peter Gabriel still
in
the band, came and did a show. That was awesome. when they had their big puppet masks and stuff. But that's pretty nice, you know. In my set, I do I Can't Find My Way Home.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We do it like the record, only like 20 keys down.
Well,
because I can't sing like Stevie Winwood.
That's cool.
Who else would you like to play with?
I really like Carole King. I just think there's so much that I could learn from her.
Yes.
Especially as I don't play keys, just as maybe she thinks in terms of piano. I would love to get a couple of pointers from Carole King. And like I said, we just saw Richard Schindel on Sunday, and I just was blown away. Like, when you see Richard Schindel, he just looks like some guy that you know you were standing next to on the subway, or you know he's working at the corner deli or something. But when he opens his mouth and starts singing, you're just like, oh my gosh, who is this guy? He's just so amazing. So I'd love to work with him too.
That's, I always loved that song, If God Was One of Us.
Oh, Joan Osborne. I like her too a lot. She's great.
Let's plug some of your upcoming gigs.
Okay. I think April 10th, I'll be at the Eagles Club in Ossining.
is that open to the public?
Yeah, it's open to the public. They're always looking for new members, so you can come and you can hang out at the Eagles Club. That'll be April 10th. And I have another gig, what is it, June 14th? June 14th at the Bitter End in New York City. So even though a lot of the crowd comes from Westchester, it's a nice early 7 o'clock show downtown on Bleecker Street at the Bitter End, and I'm really psyched because that's where Bob Dylan played and all these amazing people play there, so I'm really proud to be playing there coming up.
You'll be proud, but you'll be cured of it pretty soon. I've done many a gig on Bleecker Street, Kenny's Castaway.
Yeah, I've done those too.
The Bitter End, The Other End.
Yeah.
But that is exciting. You mentioned Peekskill.
Mm-hmm.
People can check your website, which is?
My website is juliecorbalis.com. It's just my name, J-U-L-I-E, Corbalis, C-O-R-B-A-L-I-S.com. Or if you have MySpace, it's Julie Corbalis Music. So MySpace.com/Julie Corbalis Music.
Because there's another Julie Corbalis out there?
You know what? There is. I found her on Facebook. Anyway, it's a different story. Well, I think we're friends on Facebook too, so you can always go through your site and you can find me. If you did you friend me or did you deny
yeah,
me?
Yeah, you know, I'm having, you know, we got to wrap it up, but you know, MySpace I finally figured out, you know, it's great cuz you can put your music up there, but people are not that social on MySpace.
No, it's all about the plugging.
Right. And now I'm on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more intimate.
More for friends.
Right. Anyway, I want to thank you so much for coming down and sharing with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. We'll see you on the road.
We'll see you. See you downtown.
Cool.
All right. That's the rep.
Cool. Thank you.